Second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. If you go to Genesis, go to the next book, you'll be in Exodus. We'll go to chapter 18. I had quite a few verses we're going to be reading tonight, but I think it's going to be important for us to get the gist of this. Tonight's message is turning over responsibility. Turning over responsibility. Exodus chapter 18, starting in verse number 13, it says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou dost to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning until evening? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou dost is not good." Whoa! He put the rubber right where it was supposed to be, isn't it? "Thou will surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the cause unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the ways wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers over the thousands, and rulers over the hundreds, rulers over the fifties, and rulers over the tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and this people shall also go to their place in peace." So Moses hearkened unto the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of the thousands, ruler of the hundreds, ruler of the fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct everything that's said and done here, that be for your honor and your glory. We love you. We just thank you so much for this message. I pray now that as I preach it, we might get something out of it that we can use in our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, all of us many times feel that we need to do everything ourselves. You know, have you ever heard the old saying, well, if you want it done right, do it yourself, right? If you want it done right, do it yourself. Well, if anybody has lived by that, I have. And quit your laughing. And so, you know, I work with him and Larry, and you can understand why I'm, no. you know, it's hard many times, though, to turn over things to others because you don't know if it's going to get done or not. And so many times, especially in church or Sunday school or MTC or TUG or whatever, even in the school, you're afraid to take and turn things over to people because you don't know if it's going to get done or not. I truly believe that this is why Moses was the way he was. I really believe that Moses did not think that anybody else could do it other than himself. I don't think that he really believed that anyone else of the children of Israel were capable of judging the people as he was. And I believe that he felt there would be times when they would not judge fairly. You know, much like Hophni and Phinehas, Samuel's, or Eli's sons. And what we need to realize is that not everybody will do everything the same way you will. And I don't believe that Moses felt there was anybody in the children of Israel that could do it the way he felt it needed to be done. But I believe that there's some very important things in this passage of Scripture that we read that we need to understand, including the preacher. And I know if you listen intently to what I say, you're going to get something out of this tonight. The first thing is this. Moses did something. Look at verse 13. It says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat and judged the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning until evening." Moses was a workaholic. How many of you ever heard the word workaholic? How many of you are workaholics? Well, Moses was a workaholic. He worked from sun up to sundown. He was over 90 years old. He got up early, and every morning he would go and he would listen to the complaints of the people, and he would judge the causes that were brought before him. Moses did not take any vacations. You know, all the way through the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you never find Moses ever taking a vacation. Have you ever noticed that? He never once took a week off. He never once took his wife and children on a vacation. You know, he never even took a lunch break. You know, he didn't really have, I believe, the family time that he should have had. He had a family. Moses did not have time to watch his favorite television programs. I mean, you know, the poor guy, he couldn't even watch football. You know what I mean? I mean, by the time he got home, it was dark. You know, he couldn't even watch the Israelites out playing football. You know, Moses did not take Mrs. Moses out to dinner. You know, think about that for just a minute. Here's Moses, and he's the head of the children of Israel. There's over 4 million of them. And, you know, he never once ever took his wife out for dinner. You know, they didn't even go to Mickey D's. Can you believe that? They never went to McDonald's? I mean, that's unbelievable. But, what's that? Well, yeah, but they probably went out for dinner there. I mean, there's nice restaurants in Egypt. Yeah. So, but, you know, he never did? He never played his Xbox. Can you believe that? He didn't go home at night. Yeah, I mean, after dark, I can see, you know, he's coming in and there's this big screen TV sitting in his tent. You know what I mean? He's got a 72-inch big screen, flat screen TV in his tent. And there he is playing Xbox. Right? Yeah. No. They didn't have Xbox back then. But, you know, he wasn't able to do that, you know? There was, you know, nothing wrong with work. And many times if more people would do it, why, there'd be a whole lot more get done. But, you know, when it's all work and no relaxation, it's not good either. You know, when Jesus had the 12 disciples, what did they do? They went from city to city to city to city, didn't they? But what did Jesus do with the disciples? What's that? Yeah, but what did he do? He took them away privately. Remember when he sent them out two by two, they went out and they healed the sick and caused the lame to walk and things like that. They came back to him, told him everything that happened. And what did he do? He took them away privately, all alone, to get away from everybody. You know, Jesus, even Jesus, had to get away from people. He even had, he went up in the mountains all by himself just to get away from people. Now, Moses felt that he was doing everything that he needed to, and he was doing it the way God wanted him to do it. And this is great. You know, he had good motive. He was doing what God wanted him to do. But you know, someone saw something. Someone saw something. Look at verse 14. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou dost to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning until evening?" Moses' father-in-law saw something which was not good. You know, he saw a man who was never home. He was not caring for the things of his family the way he should. He was not taking care of his household duties. He was not raising his children the way they needed to be raised. He was not caring for his wife the way that she should be cared for. And he saw Moses was getting up from dawn to the setting sun, leaving the house at dawn and coming back when the sun set. And he was completely worn out. Now, I don't know about you, but I know what it's like to take in counsel all day long. And I've done it, from early in the morning till late at night. And I'll tell you, when you get home, you may not be physically drained, but you're emotionally and mentally drained. And I can see Moses as he's walking home with his head down, kind of kicking the stones a little bit, grumbling, complaining, you know, about him wanting to go and eat worms, you know what I mean? Having a little pity party of his own. But he saw his father-in-law, or Jethro saw his son-in-law coming home only to go to bed, fall asleep, get up in the morning, and start it all over again. You know, he had known Moses for over 40 years. After all, for 40 years, Moses worked for his father-in-law. For 40 years, Moses took care of Jethro's sheep on the backside of the desert. Jethro knew Moses was a hard worker. He knew Moses loved his family. He knew that Moses loved his wife. He knew that Moses would care for the things that he was put under him better than anyone else. Moses' father-in-law saw something. One of the things he saw was that Moses wasn't getting any younger. Moses is now about 90 years old. Moses was starting to slow down a little bit. Moses wasn't as quick as he had used to be. Moses was tiring more easily. Moses was not slowing down as much as he should at his age. You know, many times, others can see things that are happening in your life before you can. Did you know that? Others can see things that are going on in your life more than you can because you're too busy to slow down and look at what's happening. You know, I know a pastor who was working 24/7. Started a church here in Florence in 1999. He worked day and night. Drove a food bank truck up in East Mesa, got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, jumped in the car, drove up there, jumped in the truck at 5:30, drove food bank truck from 5:30 until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, came back to Florence, went door knocking for 4 hours a day after that, and that was besides writing his messages, counseling, and everything else. You know, all of a sudden, 2001 rolls around, and this preacher was driving in a truck, having chest pains. Drove himself to the hospital because he didn't want to have to call an ambulance. Was that stupid? Actually, I finished the food route first. I'll never forget, I called Brother Hughes up. I said, I think I'm having a heart attack. I'm going to drive to the hospital. He said, okay, let me know. He said, did you finish the route? First thing he said was, did you finish the route? I said, yep. And Brother Hughes is so busy, he never understands what you're saying anyway. So about 8 minutes later, my phone rang. And he goes, did you say you're having a heart attack? I said, well, I don't know for sure, but I think I might be. Where are you at? I said, well, I'm on Highway 60 heading for the hospital. What hospital are you going to? I said, well, I'm going to Desert Sam. He says, okay, I'll be right there. Or he says, pull over. I'll get an ambulance. I said, I can see the hospital from where I am. I said, I'm going to the hospital. He says, okay, I'm on my way. Click. Now, I was on Highway 60 between 10 and Highway 60, just about to Dobson Road. You're just about there. I pulled in, pulled the truck up, got out, went into the emergency room, gave the girl my name. Now, that was back in 2001 when there weren't a whole lot of hospitals. Remember that time period? And the place was packed. I mean, there were people standing room only. This girl says, what's your problem? I said, I think I'm having a heart attack. She goes, have a seat. So I did. So I sat down. 45 minutes later, this guy calls my name. And I went up. He says, what's the matter? Or what's your problem? I said, I think I'm having a heart attack. He checked my blood pressure, listened to my heart. He said, don't move. And he got up, and I don't think his feet hit the ground all the way into the ER. The next thing I heard was running, and they come flying out of the ER with a bed, and they throw me on this bed, ripping my clothes off. They're putting EKG on me. They got paddles with them. I mean, they're ready to give me the big one, you know. I'm going, uh-oh, this ain't good. And so anyway, that's when I had my aortic aneurysm. They did open heart surgery and got it fixed. But you know, it taught me something. It taught me that it doesn't make any difference how much work there is to get done. You can only do so much. And that if somebody isn't here to help you, maybe God doesn't want the work to get done. And that taught me a big lesson, because at that time period, we had just taken over this building, and this building was in shambles. There was 130 panes of windows that were out of this building. There was if you go in the back of the church where the women's bathroom is, well, actually, that's not where the women's bathroom was. That was the men's bathroom, but in the next one over. The toilet was suspended down into the basement. The floor was completely rotted out. The ceilings were rotted out. And water was running all over. So we went, we looked at this thing, and I thought, oh boy. Now, I just had open heart surgery. The doctor said not to do anything, nothing, zero, for almost a year. And I met with the men of the church, and I said, what do you think? Yeah, let's do it. We can get it done. And I'm going, okay. Now, I'd been a carpenter. I knew how to do this stuff. I knew how to run a power saw. I knew how to swing a hammer. I knew how to put up drywall. I knew how to do all this stuff. I knew how to do everything. Couldn't do it. Had two men in the church. Both of them took 2 weeks vacation. They came in here from early in the morning, till late at night, working in this building, getting it ready so we could have our first service in here. I'll never forget the first service we had in here. It was the most beautiful service you ever wanted to see in your entire life. But you know what? I couldn't do any of it. There was not one thing that they would allow me to do. In fact, one day, I picked up a hammer, and I was going to pull a nail out of a board that was there. I didn't want anybody to step on it, you know what I mean? And I went to pull it, and the next thing I said, heard was, if you don't put that hammer down, I'm going to hit you in the head with this one. And he meant it. He did. He says, now, put the hammer down, and he says, you sit on that chair, and don't you move. You understand me? I go, yes, sir. I said, I'm old enough to be your dad. He says, I don't care. But they worked every day in here and got it done. You know, you have no idea, none, how it broke my heart to see the two of them doing all this work and me not being able to do any of it. Not even to pick up a hammer. I wanted to do it so bad. Is this on? Yeah. Yep. Dana knows right where I'm coming from. But you know, listen. You know, I know what Moses was thinking. Well, if I have all these guys do this stuff, you know, what's it going to leave for me? You know, Moses had been a hard worker. You know, he's never late for a day of work. You know, many times, though others can see things happening before we can. You know, we can do all we want for the cause of Christ, but if we are damaging our testimony, believe it or not, by doing too much, it's only hurting our testimony. You know, we can work lots of hours, bus calling, we can work lots of hours in school, we can work lots of hours in the food bank and other ministries, but if it's going to hurt your family life, don't do it. You know, I had a very wise pastor give me some very good counsel before I started the church. And this is what he said. If the church comes to a point that it comes between you and your wife, you leave the church. You leave the church. You leave the church. If you get so busy with so many ministries, it's time for you to leave the church, because she's more important than the church. And you know, I've always remembered that. And I've always tried to balance my life so that I have a family life and I have church life. But you know, someone said something to Moses. Verses 17 and 18, his father-in-law told him where the rubber met the road. Look at verses 17 and 18. He says, and Moses' father-in-law said unto him, this thing that thou dost is not good. He says, hey, stupid, you're doing it all wrong. Basically, that's what he said. He says, you've got to take and listen. You know, I really think Jethro kind of busted Moses' bubble a little bit. I really do. After all, Moses was a great man. Moses doing a great thing. Moses thought everything that he was doing was for the honor and glory of God. Moses thought that everything that was going on was in accordance with God's will. Now all of a sudden, here's this old man, older than he is, standing there and going, you're not doing it right. Whoa. That would get a guy's attention, wouldn't it? After all, here's Moses, 90 years old. Jethro had to be a minimum of 110 or 115 years old. A minimum. And here's this old fogey telling this young buck what to do. After all, Moses is only 90. You know, Moses' father-in-law not only saw something, but he was not afraid to speak up and tell Moses what he thought. He says, listen, son, if you don't slow down, you're going to wear out. What you're trying to do is a big job, and it's too big for one person to do. You need help, and you need it now. You don't want to wait. You don't want to go any farther. You want it, and you need it, and you need it now. You know, it was hard. It's hard many times to tell someone what you feel they should do when you have no solution to help them. Now, you can tell someone that they're working too hard, putting in too many hours, and that they need to take and slow down, but they cannot give you a solution how to get the work done if you slow down. Amen? Isn't that the way it is? Not only did Jethro see something, not only did he say something, but he also had a solution for the problem. Verses 20 through and 22, it says, "And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they shall walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such that fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and the place put a place over them, to be rulers over the thousands, rulers over the hundreds, rulers over the fifties, rulers over tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee." You need to teach the people how to live correctly. Choose you some good men. That's it. Jethro told Moses, who fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, men above reproach. You know, many times it's easy to see a problem, say something about it, but then not give a solution as how that problem can be resolved. Here we see Moses' father-in-law giving a good counsel and having a solution for the problem. Moses did something. Someone saw something. Someone said something. And Moses listened to someone. Chapter 18, verses 24 to 26. And it says, "And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses. But every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land." You know, he hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law. Moses had enough sense to listen to somebody who was older than he was. Amen? Don't you wish our teenagers today would do that? Amen? Or children would take and listen to the older people once in a while? You know, he taught the people how to live. He chose them. He chose himself able-bodied men to judge the people. He gave them the easier cases to judge, and he took the harder ones. Moses no longer had to work from sunup to sundown. He had a little time for himself. He probably went out and played 9 holes of golf or 18 holes of golf once in a while. Amen? You know, I can see them out in the wilderness, you know what I mean, setting up a golf course out there. You know what I mean? Well, not really. I really can't see that. But, you know, he could watch his favorite television programs. He could spend a little bit of time with Mrs. Moses and his children. You know, he lived to be a good old age of 120 years old. Now, he was 90, and he could have died at 91. By working too much. We all need to listen to wise counsel from time to time from those who have been there. We need to listen to the solutions which are offered by others, how we can do it a little bit easier, a little bit better. I stand before you tonight and tell you, I am a Moses. I hate to say that. I am. I am a Moses. I know I work way too many hours. I wear too many hats. I try to make everything run as smoothly as it can at the church. And very wise people, including my doctor, have told me that I need to slow down a little bit. However, even with great counsel, sometimes there's no solution. You know, I'll tell you what, I praise the Lord for William and Larry. I do. I praise the Lord for them every single day. Even though I pick on them all the time. I do. I pick on them constantly. Don't I, Larry? Wake up back there in the corner. You know, that goes on the internet, don't you? Your PO will hear that. But I do. I praise the Lord for them because they've taken a huge, huge load off my shoulders with the food bank. You know, this last week, we got in about 40,000 pounds of food. And the week of Thanksgiving is the worst week of the year as far as getting food in because so many other food banks are down and they have nowhere to go with their food, so they call us up and we take it. So we worked a lot of hours last week. They put a lot of miles on the truck. But they always had a smile on their face. They always came to my office complaining. But I'll tell you what, I just praise the Lord for them. Because I know that if I didn't have them, we'd have to close the food bank down because I could not do it. I just couldn't. You know, I praise the Lord for our teachers that we have in our school. For my wife, Melanie, and Felipe. I just praise the Lord for them. And I praise the Lord for Nancy. You know, Nancy spends hours in that office. And she does things that you people have no idea what gets accomplished around here. Nancy, I sent to school here a couple years ago to learn how to do the scholarships and things like that. And she takes care of all that. I have no idea how to do the scholarships. I have no idea who to contact, what anything else. If she doesn't see something that's right, she makes phone calls, and I just praise the Lord for that. We have lost thousands and thousands of dollars over the years because I had no one who had the time to do the scholarships. And now, with her in that position, it's going a whole lot better. And I just praise the Lord for it. But you know, we have a lot of ministries in this church. We've got TUG. We've got, I like to start MTC for the younger kids. We've got, I like to see a senior saints program started. I got a lot of things I'd like to see, but it's at a point where I can't do it myself. I just can't. And there's a lot of things this next year I'd like to see us get off the ground. But you know, we can all do something for the Lord if we'll only ask Him to show us what it is that He wants us to do. You know, I don't believe that these men that Moses picked ever dreamed that they were going to be in the position that they were judging the people. I don't. But yet they were raised up. God gave them the ability to be able to judge fairly, and they were put in the position of judging the thousand, the hundreds, and the tens. And I'll tell you what, that had to be a big job. Now, if you take and you think about that, just think how many Moses was judging on a daily basis. If he had 70 men that judged the thousands, the hundreds, and the tens. And Moses was doing it all by himself before. Man, I'll tell you what, he had a big task, and God gave him the ability to do it. But each and every one of us need to know what our abilities are. We need to know what our limits are. And we need to ask God to take and help us to get through everything that He has for us to do. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for tonight. Thank You for all You've done for us. Thank You for Your love. I just pray now that You'll guide and direct us. Be with us as we have this baptism now. I just pray, Lord, that You'd guide and direct us tonight. Be with us, I pray. I thank You for this message. I just pray, Lord, that You help each and every one of us that will know when it's too much. And I just pray now that You'll guide and direct us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.